Here's your Cleveland Dorks.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Hello, Cleveland. This is not the dulcet tones of Irving Katz. He's out of town. This is Russ, just Russ, the fill-in host for Dial a Dork. You're listening to AM 1300, and the radio show is Dial a Dork. That's one of the tech help lines for you, the listener, in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm here today with Dewey, the answer man.
Hello, Cleveland.
And Matt Dork Almighty.
Hello.
So the cast is, looking a little light this week, but I think we got the content and the info you are going to want. So give us a call if you have any kinds of problems with technology at all, or just dork topics. What was it, level 17 paladins that's mentioned there?
We have never had a phone call about a level 17 paladin.
I couldn't help them, but I think, Matt, could you handle that one?
I'd have to reach deep back into past, but I could probably dig up some memories there.
Right now. Well, the phone number is 578-1300, and we're waiting for your calls. Feel free to email us as well. It's dorks@dialadork.com. That's all dashes, dial-a-dork.com.
Russ, you are doing a fantastic impression of Irv today. I just want to say that.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm humbled and very appreciative of your praise.
You know, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. And since our
flip-flops to fill, Irv is in Jamaica.
He's
wandering the beach.
This is Dorks on Vacation. We need to get National Lampoon
right
down there.
And you think he's listening right now?
I don't think he is.
I bet
radio
he is
on that.
I bet he's got ice cast going.
That could be. Well, if he set up the ice cast before he left town, he could be listening to it right now. So. To his friends in the States. Hi, Irv.
Hello to Irv's family out there.
I don't even know if Jamaica's in the States. I got to be honest.
No, I don't even think it's a territory.
No, it's a...
Puerto Rico's the only one in the U.S. Virgin
that's
Islands.
That's terrible of me. It's terrible.
Yeah,
I suppose we should apologize to anyone who's expecting a nice cast this week.
Yeah.
If there isn't one.
All right, well, there we go. Well, we got a little bit of business this week. As always, want to encourage people who appreciate what we're doing here and think maybe we could help them reach their audience as well to contact the Dorks and talk about advertising. We can get some 30-second, 60-second, et cetera spots, work it in with our website, and get your message out to the people as we help them with their tech problems and their dork interests.
Speaking of which, if you guys are out there listening and have not yet clicked on the iListen logo that is on the Dial-A-Dork website, please head out there and do that to give us an idea of how many people are out there listening to us. We love you all anyway, but we need to have a little bit of a vocal majority instead of the... silent majority instead.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll get the message out. I guess that's the business for the week. Right here it says no Irv and advertise, so we're done, right?
All right. That rocks.
Well, what we've promised for weeks, is everybody excited about talking about e-commerce?
Yes.
No. I thought we were going to talk about blogging today. We can't talk about e-commerce.
Yeah, we're totally teasing people about e-commerce. Tune in next week for more e-commerce.
But blogging is important.
Yeah, we messed with the itinerary this week, and we're talking blogs this week. What is a blog, Drew?
Blog is a word that's a contraction of the two words weblog. And a weblog can really be, anything that the author wants it to be. It can be, basically like an online journal that somebody writes, or it can be a list of links to other websites that they found while they were wandering around the internet.
I know a dude with a weblog like that.
Really?
Yeah, his name's You.
That's a weird name.
He's Chinese.
And where could I find that weblog if I were interested in looking for it?
Well, you know what? Every time I have to find it, I have to type in thinkythings.org and then surf to the minimalist weblog link because I don't know a direct URL to it.
There is a direct URL. It's just really complicated, and I think you're better off doing it that way.
Okay, fair enough. That was all side reference to Drew's weblog, which is a very links-oriented weblog. He just finds
it's
cool
a minimalist
stuff
weblog
out in the net and directs people to it, which is cool. That's a great feature for certain weblogs.
Well, hold on a second. When did you, I read it pretty much, maybe not daily, but every couple days nowadays. And when did you start it? I don't even remember.
Oh, it was about 2 years ago. I don't remember the exact date.
That long?
Oh, sure.
We should have an anniversary party.
Yeah, we should. We should do something for you. Oh, we'll organize that offline sometime.
But yeah, so...
but what did you do? You made it yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Handcrafted.
At the time, I don't know if there was a lot of web blogging software out there. Unlike today, there's lots of options if you want to do your own content without doing your own program.
Well, to continue what the weblogs are, often they also contain a lot more commentary than the minimalist blog.
Sure.
Sometimes they're total.
Sometimes they're people who think they're journalists or people who substitute for journalists, like the Drudge Report often breaks news stories. That's considered a weblog.
But it's not just for people who think they're journalists. There's some actual,
No, if you want to go out there and post pictures of your cat, that'd be cool. I mean, there's certainly people who do that. If you just want to...
I know a guy who did that, and his name's you.
I can't remember posting pictures of my cat on my weblog.
Pictures
maybe not the
weblog,
but I've definitely seen your website has pictures of cats.
Well, don't you like cats?
I didn't say I didn't like cats.
No, not at all.
What about pictures
Matt,
of cats?
Matt is, though.
Really, they're the most evil things on the planet.
So really, I think the salient point about weblogs is that they're just an easily updatable... conduit for anyone to get whatever they have to say,
right.
Anything or
it
nothing at all.
It seems like most sites on the web these days, if they're not static commercial sites, could be phrased as a weblog of some type. I didn't realize /dot, one of my earlier news sites, would be called a weblog, but they kept saying that.
Well, you know, I don't think that when it came out, that word was even invented.
Exactly.
I mean, that's been out for probably, would you say 10 years /dot has been around?
Probably less, but I don't know.
And I think that they came before the word weblog, but they certainly fit the definition.
Time sensitive,
frequently
time ordered
updated
information.
You know, would it be bizarre for like a family member to run their own blog and have like cousins and aunts and uncles and stuff like that?
Yes,
that would
be totally
stuff?
Outlandish.
Would that be outlandish?
No,
the
cool
like
thing
alien?
About the web is that, you know, it's a pretty small cost to get a website, and you know, there's blogging software out there for free. And, you know, whether you have 5 readers, or whether you have, you know, millions of readers like Slashdot does, the cost is pretty much the same to you until you start hitting that point where the bandwidth charges start racking up.
Right.
So if you want to write a weblog for just, you know, your friends at school or your family members, then I think that's a perfectly wonderful thing to do.
Do people like write their private thoughts like they would do in like a diary kind of thing? Or?
Yes, but I don't read those weblogs.
Oh, you know,
there's a lot of those out there though. That's like all of high school now, I think, is blogging.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of weblogs that talk about, you know,
golf.
Yeah, stuff that you know, unless you know that person, you probably can't relate to. They're talking about, you know, pictures of their cat or what their cat did this morning. And
one of the interesting things for me was. This relates in later to when I started reading RSS feeds of weblogs. I got into more content, and I looked into a couple friends of mine who I know distantly and didn't know they had blogs. I heard they did. I checked them out, and they have a tight-knit group of friends, probably 10 people who work together. They're all blogging, and you know, they comment on each other's blogs. It's a fun little community.
Oh,
and
wait,
that,
wait,
of course, grows more interest. Like, they get random people now posting comments, even though someone like our friend Ryan has very few comments, but he posts very interesting stuff too.
So it's not just you kind of spouting off on the internet out there. People can, like, respond and stuff like that?
Absolutely. Well, that, I guess we could talk about what we mean when we say web blogging software, huh?
Yeah, we probably should.
Dewey here rolled his own.
I think it's time to do that. Yes, I wrote my own, partly because I wanted to experiment with the PHP programming language, but also because there weren't a lot of options out there 2 years ago.
I think there are more options than you're aware of, but that's how a lot of people start. They don't know what the options are.
Probably so.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of stuff out there now to help you have a website. The easiest things don't even require you to register a URL. You just become part of the blogosphere.
For example.
The blogosphere.
That's right. Well, for Blogger, which both Drew and I have experimented with recently, blogger.com is a website owned now by Google. They weren't originally when I first signed up a couple years ago.
Ooh, when did they acquire that?
A couple years ago.
Man, Google is like got everybody.
They're getting their fingers in all the pies, and it's starting to come together. We could talk more about that. But.
Yeah, we should. All right, so back to Blogger, and that's B-L-O-G-G-E-R?
That's right.
Yeah,
.com.
Okay.
.com. And to actually read those blogs, I guess you go to blogspot.com.
That's
is that right.
Right?
So that's where they get published to. And Blogger is the actual software. And it lives up on the web server, and it's really easy, like filling out a form.
How much does it cost?
Well, Blogger, I think it's completely free, 100%. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, LiveJournal, which is another version of this web hosted. It's hosted by somebody else. All you do is go in your browser, any of your stuff, and it posts to your, you know, space. LiveJournal has a way to pay for their, some of their services, but you can get a free one as well.
Oh, wait a minute. How do they provide free services? Is there some advertising or something that's going on there? Or?
It's a fine question.
I don't know.
What is the business model?
Well, I
get
know
users
that,
now.
I know if you pay, you get more features, and I'm not sure what the for pay features are. I know that
on Blogger there's payment too.
No, on Live.
On LiveJournal. Yeah, I'm with you.
So are there limitations? They're like, you can only have so much up there, or you can't upload pictures, or you can only upload so many. Or
yeah, I don't remember the exact limitations. I had some problems when I tried to register for LiveJournal. Basically, couldn't prove that I was a human being.
You couldn't prove.
He failed the Turing test.
Yeah,
you're not part of the 4,400, are you?
I have no idea what you just said.
Oh, man, you do not watch sci-fi, do you?
No, apparently.
That's
not
on USA, which smacks of second-rate sci-fi. Although
well,
I've watched a little
it
bit
was originally on sci-fi, and then it went to...
Oh, really?
Yeah, USA picked it up. You know, as they always do, they got like the second run and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
All right, but anyways, huge sidetrack there.
Well, when you go to sign up for LiveJournal, they have a little section there to make sure that you're an actual human being signing up for this and not some computer program that somebody wrote to just generate accounts on this web service.
Why would you do that?
Why would they do that?
To spam people later, probably.
Ooh.
That's always the underlying cause.
Why would a spam program want a web log? Okay. So they have this little image at the bottom. It's got some letters and numbers in it, and it's sort of blurry. It's like,
and they're all like, yeah, wavy and hard to read.
It's very difficult to read. And the idea there is that, you know, a computer program couldn't read it.
And failed the OCR thing.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't read it either. So I couldn't and then they ask you to type in what those numbers are to prove that you can read it, and I couldn't. Well, there was no problem, though, because it said, if you can't read this, click here for an audio version. So I clicked there for the audio link.
Which is for the blind people, not necessarily the morons like you.
Exactly. But apparently I'm blind as well, because I couldn't read it. I clicked on the audio link, and I couldn't understand what it was saying, because it was one of those computer voices reading letters and numbers, and the volume was really low. I couldn't make out what it was saying, so I couldn't type in that number either. So I wasn't able to try out LiveJournal to talk about it here tonight. And so consequently, I don't have a complete report on it. And one of the things I can't remember is what are the free features, what
right.
are the upgraded pay-for features.
Well, regardless, there's a lot. And there's other sites besides Blogger or LiveJournal. You could go out there, and they would host the software. They would take care of all the work for you, and all you end up with is a nice a web blog.
There's also programs that you can download to manage your web blog, and then
LiveJournal is one of those, actually.
Yes, and so is Movable Type, and so is TypePad.
Yeah. So if you happen to have your own web space already, where you can use web server applications, where they let you run PHP as one of the things you want to look for, particularly, or a database, you can install a number of different types of blogging engines, as they call them.
Yes.
Did you you guys didn't happen to look into the configuration on that stuff, did you? A little bit.
No. Not particularly. But there's a gazillion out there. There really are.
Are they pretty secure? I mean, you know, we don't want anybody just to be able to log into this kind of stuff.
Well, we know that
only
humans can get an account at LiveJournal, so that's secure.
Only blind ones, for that matter.
I would say that security is variable. One of the big ones, it's more of a what they call a CMS, content management system, but you could also set up a /.like blog in it. It's called PHP Nuke. I mean, that's essentially blogging.
Yeah.
PHP Nuke comes up with problems and insecurities all the time because it's incredibly featureful. But it's got vulnerabilities. If you don't keep up to date, someone could hack your site. That's the plus and minus. Most people don't need that many features to just blog. I mean, Drew, what do you got, like 200 lines of code?
Well, the software I wrote is really quite primitive, but the features it has are exactly the ones that I wanted that weren't maybe available elsewhere. I've got maybe 200 lines of code. Blogger is also very simple. It doesn't have a lot of features, but it produces a large number of blogs that are out there today.
We have a caller.
Yeah, yes, we do. She may be a blogger herself, or maybe she's got a question about blogging.
That would rock.
Throw her right on the air here. We don't have the Yoko the Call screener, so let's talk to Kay.
Hey.
Hello, Kay. Are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, but I'm listening. I usually listen from Maryland, and I go to the Icecast and click on listen, and it's not there tonight. So I wasn't sure if the show was on. I thought I'd call in and see.
Well, thanks for calling.
And we appreciate the call, and we are indeed on the air. Unfortunately, I think the IceCast is not up because our beloved MC and IceCast DJ, Irv, is out of town.
Yeah.
I think you may be aware of that. Cause...
I'm quite aware of that, yeah. That's right. But I wanted to listen to the show anyway.
Well, I would have loved to get you listening. Unfortunately, you'll probably have to hit the archives, which you can find at dial-a-dork.com/archives. And catch us later in the week.
I sure will.
Or you
will.
Could stay
Thank
on the
you.
Line all week, all show.
Well, unless you need to consult me for something.
Okay. Well, if you have any questions or anything, feel free. Anything on your mind right now?
Not at the moment, but thanks so much.
Okay.
And
okay.
Show tonight.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for the call.
All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye.
You know, we needed to be a little bit more organized when Irv was heading out of town, but...
Yeah, someone's going to break into his house and set up the ice cabinet.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he had to leave town in a hurry, actually.
Yeah, he did kind of leave town in a hurry.
Did he really? Well, that brings up the fact that you can give us a call at 578-1300. That's 578-1300.
What area code is that if you happen to be
216
from Maryland?
If you're listening to the non-ice cast, that's not happening. yeah, so 578-1300. Give us a call if you have questions about blogging or technology in general. I don't know. We may have a break coming up, but let's keep talking about blogs.
And actually, I wanted to bring that around to something else. Was do some of the major email providers like Yahoo or Hotmail, do those have blogging services too?
I don't know of them having them, do you?
I know Yahoo has their groups feature, which is more of a discussion forum, less of a weblog. But
yeah.
No, and I'm surprised too, because it's not terribly difficult to implement this kind of software.
Yeah, so I think they will. I mean, as Google has gone into, they've got the new Google portal feature where you can piece together some of their other stuff. I don't know if you guys have checked it out, but go to google.com/IG. You can stick news and weather and all this junk on your search page now.
That's basically, I mean, you can do that at Yahoo as well. And
well, that's
had
what
that
I'm saying. Now Google's jumping into the portal space. You'll see Yahoo catching up by jumping into some of the other stuff like blogging.
Don't people love Google because it's free of all that clutter on the
that's
first page?
That's why I
you
love
go to?
Google, frankly, yes. But I did check it out to see what they were doing.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I haven't even used the Google homepage in like...
You never use Google?
6 months
you
or something.
You use a desktop or
I use it off of the search bar built into Firefox.
I'm the same way.
I don't even have to go to the website.
But I did check it out when I saw the link to the personalized thing just to see. Right. They got a great
Did you read about that on a weblog?
Somebody's. It must probably Jaywalk. That's, what is it?
J-walkblog.com. It's a very good one.
Yeah. J. Joseph Jeff Walkenberg or something. I don't know.
I don't recall the guy's name.
Yeah. I don't know. The guy's a big Excel dude, but he actually has a really interesting blog in that he lists a bunch of stuff. Like, there's no topic for him. It's just what he found interesting on the net.
Well, I've heard that there's been some lawsuits about blogging as well as to whether a blog can be protected by the journalistic rights to protect your sources and that kind of thing as well. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, recently Apple filed a lawsuit against a bunch of bloggers who were quote-unquote leaking information about the
upcoming products
and that kind of thing. And this was happening in California, and the bloggers were saying, well, we can't release our sources because... You know, this is journalism to
Fifth
us.
Amendment,
and
yeah,
exactly. I don't know how the
Did
end
you
of
say
that.
Fifth Amendment?
I don't remember.
No, the Fifth Amendment.
It's one of those amendment thingies, though, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Boy, this is really sad. That's all right.
But you're right. They refused to disclose their sources under the protection that journalists have, and so it went to court.
Yeah, do you follow the story all the way till its end? I don't.
I think they decided that they weren't protected under that statute.
Damn it all.
Man, that's it reeks of wrongness.
Well, we'll talk more about getting into blogging after this here break. We got all kinds of aspects to hit. So,
once again,
stay tuned.
Call us at 216-578-1300 or email us at dorks@dial-a-dork.com. And we'll see you back in a bit.
Cleveland Public Theater and Tidal Wave Theater present Stone Cold Dead Serious, the honest, funny, surreal story of the Ledbetters, a clan of dropouts, junkies, and QVC addicts. you know, just your average dysfunctional family. Only their teenage son can save them from themselves by winning $1 million playing a real-life version of a computer game. Or, at least, he'll battle to the death trying. Written by America's next great playwright, Adam Rapp, Stone Cold Dead Serious is another high-octane ride from CPT and Tidal Wave Theater, co-producers of last year's Wait and Charge. Stone Cold Dead Serious opens Friday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. and runs through June 18th. Tickets are $15 and discounts are available. Call the box office at 216-631-2727 or just go to cptonline.org and get serious about video games.
This is good old Marty Cohn, King of Celebrity Talk Radio, talking to you all over the country. 6 million people listen to us every week. And I know I'm the greatest in the world. My Ed McMahon, Jim Rurley, my announcer, who's been with me about 20 years, will tell you all about the show.
If you want to meet stars, if you want to meet the greatest singers, the greatest actors, the greatest authors, they're all on with Marty Cohn, and Marty's on there, too.
What about me, Marty?
Oh, my God, I said the greatest people.
The greatest people, the greatest dad, and the greatest mom.
Marty, Norma, and their daughter, Sherry Cohn, all on 2040 with Marty Cohn this week, sponsored in part by Giovanni's five-star restaurant at Beechwood and by Dick Evans Printing out in Solon and Chagrin Falls. 2040, this Saturday, 1 to 2 p.m. right here on 1300 WERE.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion.
This is Paul DeLuca reminding you to tune in to Cleveland Business Radio every Thursday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Each week we interview another one of the dynamic business people making a difference in Cleveland. Who's on this week? You'll have to tune in to find out.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's K-O-M-M Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz or a dork or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial a Dork.
All right, we are back. This is Dial a Dork you're listening to here on AM 1300. Tonight we're talking about blogs. If you have any questions, comments, concerns about blogs,
or favorite blogs you want to tell
computers,
us about.
Oh, that'd be great to hear from the listeners what you guys read out there. Technology, give us a call at 578-1300. We are accepting all calls and emails. Dorks at dialadork.com. That's dial-a-dork.com.
Cool.
Is that the bottom of the hour business, Matt?
Yeah, I think that's the bottom of the hour business. We don't have anything else to say.
Well, let's get into the meat.
How do you read a blog?
Well, a blog is just a website, so you discover the address of it, and you just go there, you point your browser there, and you read the text that appears on the page before you.
I've noticed that Blogger does not seem to have a particularly good way to register topics or keywords or anything about a blog and then find them. You kind of have to just use Google to search for your buddies or something.
Yes, and there's another limitation that it seems to have, and that is, like, if you look at some weblogs like Slashdot, every story they post has a category. Like, it can be, you know, news or humor or
games or political or, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Blogger doesn't seem to have categories that I've discovered. Or even scattergories.
That's a great game.
So everything has sort of the same price. So you can't really search somebody's blog to find, like, everything they've posted about games, for example.
Right, right, yeah.
Maybe that's why it's free.
Yeah, there's
maybe
definitely
so.
A little functionality. Because
it's lame.
One of the things I found through one of the blogs I read recently was blogebrity.com.
Blogebrity?
Yeah, I think it's somewhat new out there. It's a list of a bunch of blogs, the supposed top blogs that are out there. And supposedly it's going to be like a magazine, but it's some kind of, that may be a scam. Anyway, it's got a list of really cool blogs out there. A-list, B-list, and C-list blogs, if you look at the actual list.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there any, like, celebrities out there that blog?
I don't know specifically. The list is all names, which actually kind of is difficult because a lot of people you don't know by name. You know by Instapundit or...
By what?
Instapundit's a big political blog that's out there. Instapundit, like Instant Pundit. Except all ad speak. I don't know. And I don't know that dude's name, but he's, you know, this list of blogs is all by people's names.
I'm pretty sure. Will Wheaton do a blog?
Will Wheaton,
yes,
the old Star Trek dude.
Wesley Crusher.
That's right. Yeah. Much hated before he became an actual blogger, I think.
I don't know about that, but...
He's A-list, and he's on the list
A-list,
I'm looking at
yeah.
right now.
He's got some talent nowadays running around.
I found this via...
William Shatner didn't like him.
Well, I think a lot of... Anyway.
Did he like anybody?
Yeah, he likes himself.
Who knows?
A lot. there's a bunch of people on the list. It's a little difficult. This one doesn't have categories. I found this list because one of the MP3 blogs, quote-unquote, that I subscribe to, which kind of tunes me into new cool music... said, hey, I'm a B-list blogger. And that's the blog is called Large Hearted Boy. I guess that's kind of an emo thing. I don't know what that means, but,
but you lost us on that one.
Yeah, he's Large Hearted Boy. It's a good blog. It tells you about good indie music that's out there if you want to check that out.
I can't believe that we didn't make the that's a rough word
tragic,
to say.
But we would have to be, you know, probably have more than 3 posts in our blog to do that.
Well, you have a blog.
Yeah, well, tell us more.
we do have a blog.
Yeah, we should segue into that. We set one up just for the purposes of testing some of the services out there. And Dewey, you're the guy that did it.
Yes, I am.
So where do we go?
You can find it by going to www.dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com.
Wonderful.
/blog.
So
it's dialadork.com/blog.
And we'll get that all linked into the actual website shortly.
And this is actually one of the features the Blogger does have is you can host it at Blogger on their servers, or you can host it on your own server, like we did. And that sort of keeps your files all together in one place, because having too many things in too many places
is
frowned upon.
Yeah.
By
so
Russ.
Yeah, if you were to go to /blog at the Dialadork site, you would see a handful of posts that we have there.
More to come.
Absolutely, and we'll probably be integrating into the site. There's some really cool features in making your website look how you want to, your blog look how you want it to. You can drop in your own page HTML and your own post specifics and all that.
Yeah, they have a thing called a template, which defines how the overall blog page is going to look.
They must have, 20, 30 of those?
I saw about 8, but there may be
more
that
if you go to the big list.
If you find page 2 or whatever.
Yep. Can you just insert your own? I mean, if you saw the format of it?
Yes.
You can straight up design your whole own page.
You need to know a little bit about HTML and cascading style sheets.
And you have to be able to think enough programmatically to understand how they're sticking their content in, but it's not tough.
Yeah.
It really isn't. So, we have that blog laying out there. We'll talk more about that. We have a caller now. Maybe we'll go ahead. Joe.
I'm kind of a beginner in computers, and I kind of have a basic question. Is there any difference between the online services like AOL, MSN, 1-800-NET-0?
Sure. Well, Joe, are you talking about in terms of getting access to the Internet or using their services?
Getting access to the Internet. Does one provide more service than the others, or, you know, what is the difference, and why is there a discrepancy in the amount they charge?
That's a fantastic question, actually.
I'll take that one a little bit here. Some of my family uses AOL dial-up still, and that, if I remember correctly, they're charging like $21.95 a month for that service, which seems like a heck of a lot just for a dial-up connection. But what AOL does is they do layer a lot of available services on top of it. They have their own, you know, kind of rich client, and they're able to do some marketing to you. They're able to, you know, link in the instant messaging and the email and They have AOL-hosted websites that you can, you know, kind of access through the AOL network and have a certain amount of trust associated with that.
Do they still have a lot of proprietary content?
They do have still a lot, they do still have a lot of proprietary content as well.
So that $21 a month gets you a lot of stuff besides just a dial-up connection to the internet.
Right, but
and MSN too.
MSN to a lesser degree. It's like there's a whole range of services, and I'd put AOL at the top and kind of MSN a little bit down from there, and then at the bottom you'd have stuff like NetZero, which is what my sister uses. Her and my brother-in-law use NetZero because they wanted something cheap that gave them email, that gave them internet, but didn't give them a whole heck of a lot of other stuff that you wouldn't really find yourself using. And down there, you're, you know, like $9 or $10 a month, maybe 14, and which is a heck of a lot more affordable than, you know, 21 to 25.
Yeah, I mean, if I was
a beginner, that might be what's for me then, huh?
Yeah, I would highly suggest it. They're having a really good luck with it. The service is hardly ever unavailable. I haven't been getting a lot of spam with them, so I don't think they've, you know, picked up any viruses or bugs. And I've talked to my sister recently, and she's really happy with it. They even help you through the process of getting it all set up. Like if you don't know, you know, how to plug your modem line, phone line into the modem and that whole process as well.
Who's that? This NetZero?
That's right. That's right. They sent her a little kit with a CD and, you know, a set of instructions. And if that's not good enough, if you need to talk to somebody, and my sister did, and she called me, and I sent her to voicemail on my cell phone. But she called up their service guys, and they helped them out. They helped her out. So,
well, gee, that's good to know.
Yeah, I think that's probably what you'd be wanting. Is there anything special that you wanted to be able to do, or?
Well, you know, quite frankly, I just want to pick up my email, and maybe look at the stock market or something like that.
Yeah, right, I think that'd be perfect.
I mean, I think for someone who still wants to be in the dial-up world, look for the lowest price service you can, honestly. A $10 a month, whatever Netscape, I think, has ads running for $10 a month now.
Yeah.
As long as you have a reasonably modern computer and you don't think you're going to need a lot of phone support.
All right.
Lowest price.
Well, thank you very much.
Anytime.
Hey, no problem, Joe.
Good luck with that. Give us a call back if it works out for you.
Thank you.
Or if it doesn't. Thanks.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, well, definitely call us because we'll help you get it all set up.
You won't send it to voicemail on your cell phone?
I won't send it to voicemail. I think she actually tried to call while we were here in the show, and I was like, oh,
I thought you
can't
let all
those
calls through.
Speaking of which.
Matt turns off the cell phone. No, I think this whole dial-up thing and access to the internet's a great question right now because if you go to one of those higher-priced services, you may as well be paying for always-on service, broadband, cable, or DSL.
Yeah,
$20 a month, you can find $25, $35, you know, cable or DSL.
Absolutely. You know, SBC Yahoo here in Cleveland runs it for $24.95 a month, I think.
Right.
And that gets you email addresses and a permanently on connection.
Right.
And we've talked and belabored the point about security and firewall.
Yeah,
and that.
I think
we're not
that
gonna
can
go
be more
that,
of a hassle than a lot of people. So if you want to stay in the dial-up world,
yeah,
go cheap.
There's a certain threshold of functionality that you need, and if you are just interested in basic email and checking your stock portfolio or something like that, by all means, you know, save yourself the extra $10 and buy another couple stocks and move on.
Yes, or come advertise.
So, and you could even
for the question,
you could even
excellent.
Blog over dial-up because it's mostly text, right?
Oh, absolutely, you could. I don't think that'd be a problem at all. One of the things Dewey did with our blog was throw an image up there. You want to talk about how you go about doing that kind of thing? Because it's complicated.
Oh, I don't think it's that complicated. Blogger gives you a nice little editor, and you can just type in basically the link to that image. You know,
you have to do HTML, though.
I found an image on the internet, and I linked to it, yes, with the HTML.
Oh, so you didn't upload that or anything. I see. You linked to an image somewhere else.
Yes. Gotcha. Somebody else already had it uploaded.
What if they move that image?
Then our link
our
will
blog
break.
Breaks.
That's okay. It was another blogger who blogged it, and so he copied it from wherever the original source was and stashed it on his server so that it'd be available for him all the time.
Something we would probably want to do if we were professionally blogging that stuff.
Yes, probably.
All right. Well, so it sounds pretty easy. Even if you're just going to upload an image, you just browse to it on your desktop or whatever, and then just
it does
grab
help
it up.
To know a little bit of. HTML to blog, I got to say, to make links, to do image stuff. Simple formatting like that.
Sure.
But you know what? Anybody listening who isn't doesn't feel like they are really, really, really technology nerds, don't be afraid when we say, you know, program HTML. It's a very, very simple,
and this is a great simple way to thing start to learn. Learning it.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
And I'm sure they have tutorials out there and stuff involved with Blogger and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, if you want to, you know, make a weblog that's focused around your pictures, maybe from a trip that you're taking, possibly to Europe.
Like Amitai's doing.
Like Amitai's doing.
Yeah.
There's a service called Flickr. It's FLICKR.
That's not spelled right.
.com?
I think it is flickr.com.
Or .org.
I think it's .net.
No R.
.net.
You guys
it's flickr.something.
I'll look at it.
And they're a photo sort of archiving service.
A photo album service.
Yes. And it's free. You upload your photos there.
How can it be free?
Because they're available to everyone. And
it is .com, by the way. Flickr.com.
Right. .com.
All right, stop interrupting, Drew. Let's get this moving here.
You can optionally make those available to anyone who visits Flickr, or you can keep them private. And you can just use that service to stash all your photos, and then you can link to them from your weblog to Flickr. And it works great together. One of the cool things about Flickr is you can keep an eye on your page or some other person's page or all the photo pages using a new technology called RSS. And as the new photos get uploaded, you can get a little tickler in your RSS feed.
Well, that's a whole bucket of fish there. Should we talk about RSS then?
I think we should talk about RSS.
You know what else we should do?
What's that?
We should like put up a little page maybe on our blog that says kind of briefly how to put all this stuff together.
That
would be sweet. I will do that
all right.
as my first experiment in our blog since I haven't posted yet.
Rocking. All right. So yeah, RSS and whatnot.
So what's RSS? What does that say?
Really simple syndication. RSS is like the dream of when people started throwing stuff up on the web. How do we get to this content? You come up with RSS. RSS is a really lightweight way to ship those, you know, really basic content, headlines of each entry.
You're talking about blog entries now.
Sure, yes, absolutely.
Or maybe news entries for a news service.
Exactly.
Or like
pictures,
notifications
if a new picture comes out. Yeah, so a lot of this blogging software comes with automatic ways to create RSS feeds, as they call them. RSS or XML, it's all the same business. Don't worry about the acronyms. What it does is it makes it easy for you to go out there and get the content when it gets updated and realize when things are updated and you know, look at brief, sort of a brief overview of it or go click on the link and go to that content. It's great.
Yeah, and the reason it works so nicely is because it's in a format that It's a text file delivered over a regular browser connection, but it's in a format that a computer can understand. It's marked up in a way that
that a computer can understand.
Yes, that someone out there can write a computer program that can parse this text file and make sense out of it and display all the headlines, for example. So that it's there in your, do they call them news aggregators, I believe, or RSS aggregators?
All the names in this whole field, I'm realizing as we explain it, are terrible.
Yes.
So we're going to talk more about them after the break.
Okay.
You can hear the dulcet tones of Revenge of the Nerds coming in behind us. We are ready to go to break. Come back to Dial-A-Dork. Give us a call, 578-1300, and we'll be talking blogs and RSS.
Dorks at dialadork.com.
We're out.
Cleveland Public Theater and Tidal Wave Theater present Stone Cold Dead Serious, the honest, funny, surreal story of the Ledbetters, a clan of dropouts, junkies, and QVC addicts. You know, just your average dysfunctional family. Only their teenage son can save them from themselves by winning $1 million playing a real-life version of a computer game, or at least, he'll battle to the death trying. Written by America's next great playwright, Adam Rapp, Stone Cold Dead Serious is another high-octane ride from CPT and Tidal Wave Theater, co-producers of last year's Wait and Charge. Stone Cold Dead Serious opens Friday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. and runs through June 18th. Tickets are $15 and discounts are available. Call the box office at 216-631-2727 or just go to cptonline.org and get serious about video games.
Germy toilet sniffling kids.
You can't touch this.
office doorknobs, ATMs.
You can't touch this.
It's a germy world out there, but sometimes you just gotta touch, even though germs can cause illness. So when there's no soap and water, reach for Purell. In just seconds, Purell kills 99.99% of germs that hands may come into contact with. Grocery carts, preschool floors, greasy food courts, restroom doors.
You can't touch this.
You can touch, then Purell. Use as directed.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion.
There's no sports fans like Cleveland area sports fans, and the proof is right here on WERE. It's Sports Wrap 1300 every weeknight at 11 p.m. Call 216-578-1300 for your chance to be heard. Wrap sports with the Knights of the Radio Roundtable Monday through Friday at 11 p.m. Every Tuesday, we broadcast live from the Loft Pub and Grub, 2781 Euclid Heights Boulevard in Cleveland Heights. 30-cent wings, drink specials, and prizes. It's Sports Wrap live at the Loft.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
We are back, and yeah, we're talking blogs and related things here at Dial-A-Dork. If you have any questions about that or other tech stuff, or you want a cool blog to share with us, call us at 578-1300. We have an email here that came in over the break from Mandy and Mentor. And it says, there's this orange block here on the right side of this webpage I'm viewing. It says XML. Is that what you guys are talking about? Is that what we're on about? And indeed, it is.
Well, and do you get that on Internet Explorer? Is that same thing on there? I thought that was a Firefox feature.
I've seen those
feature.
Blocks actually in the
website itself.
In the sidebar or whatever on the website.
All right.
Because, yeah, that is how people alert web users that they have a web feature.
An RSS feed.
RSS or XML feed on the side.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, for being really simple, it is, it's something that has simplified my reading of websites every day.
It's really powerful.
Explain how.
It is,
I read probably
yes, sir.
10 times the number of websites I used to in a day, just because I can scan for new content. But I'm curious what you guys use to read your RSS feeds.
I love it because I use Thunderbird for my email, and Thunderbird also downloads and displays for me my RSS feeds, so it looks just like I'm getting an email from the website.
Oh, really?
I can get, well, yeah.
Interesting.
It's,
Does each headline come through as a separate?
Each headline comes through as a subject line in the email, so I can read that very simply and say, oh, I want to read that, or no, yeah, delete.
And that's an always-on feature? You always, whenever there's a new?
Whenever, you know, it checks like every 10 minutes or whatever. I have it set to, you know, ping my email. It goes out and pings the websites as well.
That's fascinating because that really shows the power of the RSS or XML, you know, boiled down feature. That I use it in a sidebar in Firefox. There's a couple of plugins that will do it for you. I use one called Sage, and it just shows a list of things I've chosen to monitor via RSS, and then they become bold when there's new stuff, and I click on them, and I see all the headlines, and if I want, I can click on a headline, and then I go to the actual page. Mm-hmm. So I see it in a web format. Matt sees it in an email format.
Well, and I want to advocate for the email format because if I don't have time to go read it, I can still delete all the BS and save the ones in my email client that I want to go back and read.
Just as you would with
email content. I would with, you know, email from, you know, anybody. So
that's super cool. So those are two options, I guess, from the folks at Netscape, Firefox, Mozilla.
I had a cool one for a while. I think it was called Feed Reader, and it put a little bar across the bottom of your screen, and it scrolled the headlines just like you see on CNN or something like that.
Oh, that would be cool.
And if you wanted to read one, you would click it, and it would bring up a window with the content in it.
And I get the feeling most people who are using RSS are using dedicated RSS feeders, not necessarily built into. Maybe most is the wrong way to put it, but early RSS readers didn't have it built into web clients or email clients.
Yeah, I'd probably have to agree with that too. I think that there's probably not much of a market for an RSS reader though, because...
Well, that's why I did not get into this really until the last 2 months. And then, like you said, it changed my life how I read so much more content online. Now I'm so really? Much more informed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had the opposite experience. I tried it out about probably almost a year ago, and I said, I like reading it on the web better. Because I like seeing all the stories in their context with the graphics and the... And the you know, maybe the ads or whatever else is around.
Well, that's
them
an interesting point. The ad thing.
The comments and follow ups.
Sure.
You know, I have noticed that on the RSS feed from, I think it's newsforge.net, which is a great website. We'll put that out as the website of the week.
Okay.
Newsforge.
.net.
Yeah, I think it's .net.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you could check though.
Okay, I'll check. You go on.
I've actually noticed that on the bottom of like every 8th or 10th RSS feed that comes through on that one, there's a really tiny ad, not huge and not flash and not, you know, like annoying and doesn't pop up any ads and stuff like that, but it's still there. So
yeah. Ads are just content. You can stick them in to an RSS feed just like you can stick
one
them
thing
into...
I read. Well, that's like an individual ad, one I read called Gizmodo,
which
is a gadget kind of weblog. They will have a whole post in there that is an ad. But I've seen also what Matt's talking about, where they actually stick an ad in the bottom. A little, it's a banner, basically. They stick in the bottom of a...
it's in the bottom of the summary. So in my client, the subject comes through with the headline, and then there's a one-paragraph summary of it, and then there might be this little tiny little banner at the bottom.
Incidentally, newsforge.com.
.com. All right.
I'll get you there. And, of course,
does
you search
newsforge.net go to the same place?
Geez, man, you're taxing my cell phone connection here.
I sure am. But I'm able to read salient news that is interested, you know, of interest to me, /dot, News Forged, Thinky Things, you know, Minimalist Thing. I get FARCs that way. I haven't noticed if CNN's doing it, but
CNN is.
I'd be willing to bet you.
CNN has two feeds. I monitor them both. One is their front page, and one is recent articles. So you'll get stuff that never really made the front page but belongs in, like, news or politics or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to be able to... It's like leafing through the magazine to look for articles that you'd be interested in without having to see, you know, the 10-page advertisement for
I gotta say,
new
though,
Clinique stuff.
I feel bad if I'm avoiding ads explicitly. So, like, from a moral sense, I try not to... avoid the ads. I try to go to the sites once in a while, and there's ways, even with Firefox, on reading a normal website, to have it screen out some ads here and there. And
Grease Monkey.
You're cutting your old thing, your old, I don't know, some kind of proverb about it being bad for you. Cutting off your nose to spite your face in that, I think. If we start really breaking, I mean, tough enough for people to make ad revenue on the net, and if they're giving you content you want, try to give them some love back and read their ads. Click on one once in a while.
Now, do most of these feeds have the whole story underneath the headline, or do you just get like the first paragraph or whatever?
Mine go both ways. Maybe we could talk about some of the feeds. I'm on one that's hosted at Blogger, and it's the whole post, but I don't really want to read it in that format, so I go to that actual blog and read the post there, because as you say, you can get comments, which you can't get on the news feed.
I honestly have to say that I mainly use it just to read the blog itself and not so much the comments. The way it comes through looking like an email, as I said, you know, headline in the subject and then summary, and there's just a link right there that I can go and read the whole string of it if I so choose to.
So if you wanted to read all the stories on a blog, you'd have to click all those links.
No, I just have to click one that would take me to
the website.
Yeah, then I'm at the website and would be able to go through it in more detail. Yeah.
So yeah, weblogs I'd plug. I you know, /dot, FARC, Salon. I read CNN. Those are the everyday lot
EFF?
Of articles.
Are you an EFF reader?
I don't actually read that. I have a couple like people out there doing some interesting essays that don't come out daily.
Uh-huh.
Joel on Software.
Yeah,
Joel
good one.
Spolsky. Paul Graham, somewhat interesting, and he annoys me sometimes too. Clay Shirky has some really interesting sociological ones. So that's some a sampling of one, and Drew Ivan at Minimalist Weblog.
Well, and you know what? For all you corporate people out there, and quite honestly, we read them as well. There's a couple guys out there, some pretty big corporate leaders who are blogging now, almost as their job.
Mark Cuban's out there. I know that. He's on Blogebrity. Mark Cuban, the rich billionaire, Texas Mavs or Dallas Mavs kind of guy.
Well, there's one. And Drew, yeah. you had a couple.
Yeah, there's a guy at Microsoft. I forget his first name. His last name is Scovel. And I think it's his full-time job just to write a blog about stuff that's going on at Microsoft.
And isn't, if I remember right, and I read this in, if it wasn't Information Week, it was Newsweek. Isn't that the guy who's using the blog to communicate to all of the IT personnel that that work for him or not?
I don't know about that.
Then that's another guy at Microsoft who's actually using blogging internally to his company to as a great way to update his thousands of IT, you know, people for important, you know, news. He doesn't have to send out an email. Everybody's signed up to it through whatever client they like to, and he's able to send this out and do an interactive dialogue because you're able to comment back to the blog. I mean, what a great business tool.
Very cool.
You know?
So what are you reading out there, Drew?
Oh,
in our last minute of the show.
In addition to the ones you listed, I like to read boingboing.net. It's a small group of people. A lot of them are involved with Wired magazine, so they have some experience in the computer industry. Boingboing.net.
Very cool.
Anything else?
Just boingboing.
I
did not mention Jaywalk, which is just J, the letter J, walk. That's a really good one. I read a lot. Gizmodo. There's a lot out there. A lot of stuff in the blogosphere. I guess we should wrap up here. We'll probably try to post some links up there, and Matt's going to give us a little page on how to get yourself involved in online.
What's the address once more of our weblog?
Well, our weblog would be hosted at the Dial a Dork site. That's dial-a-dork.com. And then if you go to /blog, B-L-O-G, you'll find our log, and we'll start checking some actual content out there.
Yeah, and for all you people out there who are looking for a blog about a particular topic, because once again, this is an interactive thing, you can get going. Just Google for blog and whatever subject you're into, blog and botany, or, you know.
Monkeys.
Monkeys. There you go.
The monkey blog.
It'll right. come back with some results, and you know, you can kind of get involved in a community around a blog and about a subject that you're interested in.
Yeah, you really only have to find one weblog, because once you do, there'll be links to other ones.
Oh, yeah. It's contagious. All right.
Infectious. It's a community, man. Get into the community.
Another fine edition has passed now of Dial a Dork. We're closing out. Tune in next week. We'll be talking about e-commerce. And you'll know how to protect your e-money. I think that's about all we got, Matt.
Well, we did talk about blogging today and RSS. We didn't talk about XML yet, which we kind of need to hit a little bit. And I think we need to hit podcasting, which is the hottest thing about blogging lately.
Yeah, that's the magic of audio.
Plus, even iTunes is coming up on the podcasting.
That's right, so be cool.
It's true.
So listen up. We'll be here in a few weeks, next few weeks, next week too, talking about all these exciting things. Dial a Dork are out.
Thank you, Cleveland.
Bye.
You get all those pimps together, it was live.